I know no one's asleep here. Praise the Lord. Good morning.
Good morning.
Give you a chance to keep loving on each other. Well, it's another day to worship. Praise the Lord. I love this song, Happy Day. It kind of just reminds you that we have a reason to rejoice. We have a reason to have happiness and a contentment in our hearts. But before we start, I want to pray for a couple of individuals that are sick today. Jesse, could you, maybe it's just our monitor. There we go. Thank you. I have a couple individuals that are sick today. We have Nani, who has something going on at her house. And so the Casillases aren't able to be here today. And then we also have Tara, who has like a cold or something going on with some back pain. So we're going to pray and just believe that the Lord would touch them right where they're at. There's no distance in the supernatural, no distance in the spirit. So they're here with us in our hearts, right, as we gather. So, Father, we just lift Nani before your throne of grace, Lord. We just ask that you would touch her body, Lord, that you would bring it to a speedy and quick recovery. And, Lord, that she would sense, Lord, your healing power working in her this morning. That she would receive, Lord, all of the goodness of your presence, Lord. All of the blessings, Lord, of the work of the cross in her life today. We just bless her in Jesus' name. We speak life over Nani. Pray for Tara right now, Lord, that you would just bring healing to her, Lord. Just allow her to receive, Lord, the healing touch, Lord, that comes from the work of the cross, Lord. And we pray right now that there would be a supernatural presence that she would experience, Lord, as we're interceding and standing in the gap for her. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are our healer. You are our rescuer. You are our deliverer. Lord, so we just believe that right now for Nani and Tara in Jesus' name. Anyone else, Lord, that's suffering, Lord, today with illnesses or sicknesses, Lord, we ask that you would touch them right where they're at. Anyone hearing my voice, whether it be tomorrow or 2 years from now, Lord, I pray that your power that has been released, Lord, from heaven on high, Holy Spirit, that you would just touch them right now with healing in every area, Lord, of infirmity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you for this day. Lord, we pray that we would rejoice in this day. We would have a happiness, Lord, that goes beyond natural happiness, but it would be supernatural, and it would be about you and in you. And we just thank you for that now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive. And oh, happy day, happy day.
as you pray this morning, may it open your eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see. Of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing home.
Your praise will ever be on my lips.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
That's good news.
Spirit of God.
Holy Spirit, we just invite you this morning, as you already have perfect residence in us as your children. We just invite you to have all the room that you need to work in us. We give you permission to move our furniture. We give you permission to rearrange this house, that it's in your order, that it's in the way that you have designed us to be. Holy Spirit, come and be alive in our lives like never before. Help us recognize your presence daily. Help us recognize your presence at work, when we're playing, when we're doing just family time. Help us to realize and recognize that your presence is always abiding. That we would honor the fact that you are with us wherever we go, whatever we do, Lord, you're there. We just honor you this morning, Holy Spirit. We honor you, Lord Jesus. We say, come, come, let your presence be alive in us today and in the coming days. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I keep hearing the word evident or evidence. And I'm thinking as a court is in session and there's evidence that's being brought, if the evidence just sits there and no one makes it known, no one allows it to be shown, it just sits there. The Holy Spirit wants to be evident in our lives today. He wants true evidence to reign in us. And so that, my friends, is up to us. Let that evidence be known. Let His presence be evident in your life. The scripture speaks about quenching the Holy Spirit. We are very capable of doing that, but even more capable of allowing Him to be evident in our lives and in our hearts, that others would see, others would come to Him, to know Him and want the peace that we have, the presence of God that we carry. People are hungry for that today. So Holy Spirit, be evident in our lives today. Let us let you be evident. Let us want you to be evident in our lives, Holy Spirit. Come and make yourself known. We allow that. We allow the evidence to be brought. In Jesus' name, in the Lord's name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, brother. Make sure I don't knock over the chair and fall.
Or knock over ourselves.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, did everyone have a good Christmas time with their families? Good. I mean, this is always sometimes, you know, family dynamics that you don't anticipate when you get together with everyone. But all in all, I think we can all have a great Christmas because It's not about necessarily the family gathering. It's about the one who came and gave his all for us, right?
Mm-hmm. Can I get up here first?
No, we sure can. I'll be patient.
Thank you.
You know, they say love is patient, love is kind.
Thank you. Love.
Love, yep. Yeah. Thank you, love. There you go. Praise the Lord. Well, look what is on the screen there. I know it just comes up and it just like slaps us in the face, a new year now. Does anybody else feel that way? It's like, what happened to 2018? At times it seemed like it was dragging along, but then once you get towards the end of the year, you just go like, what happened to the year? I mean, how did that happen? How did it like just go away? Do you have any problems there?
I'm good.
You sure? Okay. And, you know, you just kind of like, you're in a little bit of, I think, more of a shock than anything. It's like, wow, I just can't believe that it's all done. But, you know, we're moving into a new year. And, you know, I think every year, just as well as every day, can be redeemed in our lives for God. No matter, you know, what the outside circumstances may look like. And if you look at the news or you check, you know, some of the stories over the past year, you can say, wow, we've had unusual events take place. You know, and whether it be weather or whether it be, you know, governmentally or whether it be, you know, who knows? You know, it's like there's so much, it's even hard to keep track of. But my point is that we're moving into 2019, so let's not come into the year with like a heart of fear or anxiety, alarm. Let's come into it with an expectation. And why can we have an expectation? We can have an expectation because that the year that we're coming into is the year that the Lord has made, just as this day is the day the Lord has made. He's given us this coming year, just as he gave us this last year. And what we do with the year, he's given us free will. And we can either redeem that time and make that time valuable, not only in our lives and our family's lives, but also valuable in the kingdom. And sometimes, you know, we think that, you know, we've got to, you know, have a ministry position somewhere to be valuable in the kingdom. And that's just a lie from the pit of hell. I'm just telling you, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Because, you know, you can be driving to work with someone that maybe, you know, you didn't even mean for a conversation to come up, and all of a sudden you're sharing truths. You're being a minister. And that opportunity that you were ready for met the moment. And so that's what I want to talk about today is, and I'm going to, you know, use bad grammar because I don't think it's a word, but is it dead? No, it's not dead. Good. It's not dead, Jesse. That's good news. You don't have to sit there and manage it. A divining moment instead of a defining moment. And I'll go over divining moment and defining moment, but I was telling Roger, this message title I've had for almost 5-6 months now, maybe longer. I'd have to go back and see when I actually recorded it in my little notepad. And I was having coffee with Joseph. Yeah. And shout out to you, Joseph. I guess he listens to the podcast. And you, Cameron. We love you guys.
We love you guys.
You are family. You guys can say hi if you want.
Hello.
That's from everybody. So, and you guys get to see him and talk to him, but I got to talk to him this last weekend. And I don't know if it was that or the fact that they were on my heart, but whatever it is, the Lord brought back to my remembrance, divining moment. And it actually comes up on my phone every single day. And I go, no, it's not the right time. And when I started working on the message last time, I thought, well, I don't know if this is the right time because it's just not coming together. You know, some messages flow, you know, and that comes from scriptures that I have. But it's tougher to have a title and then build the scriptures around the title, you know, because you don't want to, like, you know, commit heresy, right, Jesse?
Right,
because Jesse will jump all over me if I do that. But maybe one or two more in here.
So I was sitting down, I have a talk with him, and he was sharing how, you know, he ended up, you know, in jail. And he says, yes, it was a divine moment. And he might have used the term a divining moment. I said, oh, that's amazing, because you're taking defining moment and you're putting God in it. And he goes, yeah, yeah. I said, that's going to be a message someday, you know. So today is the day. And so I want to use a scripture that I think helps kind of communicate where this whole message is going to go. And we never know where the message is going to go. I put scriptures up there. I kind of read them and go, you know, dig, you know, and do, you know, word searches and try to follow a vein that makes sense. You know, I could have, and this is what we were thinking last night, I was going to go through the Bible and just pick all these great individuals that had these divining moments and just name the stories. But I didn't want to do that because I didn't want it to be about someone else. I wanted it to be about us. How do we approach the reality of being ones that can carry divining moments? Because as we prayed up there, the divine is in us. God is in us.
Right.
And because of his presence in us, we have the ability to have divining moments. And we have the ability to choose to allow a divining moment to take place as well. Right? It could be as simple as, you know, feeding an individual who hasn't eaten for a couple of days and the Lord puts it on your heart, or you see the need and you help take care of it. You can take that moment and redeem it and make it divine. So let's look at defining moment. I'm going to do this here so I can hang on a second here. There we go. Oh, I got things going on. There it is. I'm going to take the word defining moment and then kind of show you how it's that same principle, but with the divine involved in it. A defining moment is a moment that's essential to what something is. In other words, you know, you probably could consider most of the time when you graduate from high school, like that's kind of a defining moment, you know, because number one, you made it through school. And number two, now your life's ahead of you. You're an adult. You know, all of a sudden, you know, unless, you know, you're just staying at home with your parents. But I mean, in my day, when I got to a certain age, it's like there was a certain expectation that now it's time to stand on my own two feet, which I still believe we need that today, just for those of you who are parenting out there. So it's a defining moment in your life that helps make you what you are. Now, I believe we can have defining moments in our life that can be negative as well. You know, you start associating or hanging around with a wrong individual and they take you down a line in your life that God's not designed for you to go through. Yeah, can he redeem it? Absolutely. Can he restore the years that the locust has eaten? Yeah, but why let the locust eat your years, right? Let's try to guard every step that we take with due diligence by guarding our heart and not allowing ourselves to be entangled with individuals or with circumstances that will tear us down. And in the long run, there's going to be consequences that we have to deal with. So a defining moment is a moment that shapes and molds us, I would say. It's a moment that can cause us to have a change of direction or even substantiate the direction that we're going in. You know, I can think of moments in my life. I was telling Gay, one of the moments is when Gay was across the room and she was giving me a cute face and waving at me. And I was all the way on the other side of the church, and I'm thinking, holy cow, this is amazing. This gal likes me.
I was not waving,
you know,
at him. It was a baby.
It was a baby. But fortunately, I was at the same angle, and someone had I don't know, you know, I guess the situation came up that I was connected with you at a wedding.
Right.
And it seemed like, you know, yeah, we were kind of, you know, kidding back and forth because she wanted to cut off my legs because they were getting in the picture, you know, so.
But the funny thing is that he goes like this, waves back at me.
But she didn't
like,
see
I'm
me.
Not even seeing him. I have
yeah.
no idea. And he's like, then he sees the baby. He feels like a dork.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she came up to me and said my name with four other guys, and she has said hello to each one, but it was the only name that she remembered. But it was a defining, divining moment, because from that point, Even though she didn't mean to, my heart was connected with her. And it was God, we know, that was putting us together, you know, because her son had been healed from cerebral palsy. My son had cerebral palsy. Now you go figure those two, you know, coincidences? I think not.
Yeah.
You know, we had both, we'd like been married almost like a week apart and divorced about a week apart. I mean, it's pretty crazy, you know. And when our spouses decided to, I guess, leave the plan that God had for us, he gave us a new plan A. And that's what we live in now. So it was a very defining moment. The time that we were called into ministry.
Yeah.
That was a divining moment. So I'm sure you guys can all sit here and think about moments in your life that something happened. You know, I can think of you, Junior, when you were all of a sudden like faced, was about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago now? Yeah, that all of a sudden you started like realizing I have to change. Huh? Yeah. And it's totally altered your life. All of us, I'm sure, can talk about that. So thank you, Joseph, for that great, you know, phraseology changing that he did, because it's caused me to think about this. So divining moment is the divine. It's a form or like God. So it can be, from or like God. So it's something that's either from God or God himself, or something that has
godliness,
the godness in them, you know. You know, angels are from the divine. You know, they're not divine themselves, but they're from the divine. We have come from the divine now because we have been born from above. We're no longer just residents of this earth anymore. We're now citizens of the kingdom of God, citizens of heaven. And so we have a deposit of divine in us. Mm-hmm. But when you connect this with moment, a moment is a time of importance in influence or effect. So we're not talking about just like, well, a second ago was a moment. We're not talking about just in the order of time, but we're talking about time as it relates to a significant event, significant effect in our lives or influence. Do you have anything? Okay, you're
not
just
yet.
Like listening. Okay, so let's look at Ecclesiastes 3:1.
NLT, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven. New King James Version is, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven.
So there's a time. And again, this isn't talking about, you know, 12 o'clock time. This is talking about there is a time where that moment, that divine moment, meets for every activity that God has for us. You know, and it could be as simple as a new job. You know, it could be as simple as a promotion, because God's opening up a door for you to be in a certain position. It could be as simple as a new school or moving somewhere. It could be any of those moments that we think are just like random, or they're happening because, well, I lost my job here, now I have to get a job there, and we just think that it's like, well, I'm just going through life. We don't realize that the divine can be involved in that activity.
Exactly.
So there's purposes that God has. There's wills and desires that he has for our lives that he would have us fulfill. I mean, do we fulfill every single will? You know, I don't think so. I know times I've missed it, you know. And I'm like, Lord, forgive me. And you realize it after the fact that you missed it. You know, and then there's times that you connect with that purpose under heaven and you're going, wow, I just feel a great amount of warmth and goodness and satisfaction and a fulfillment when you connect with those divine purposes under heaven. Mm-hmm. So there is a time. So let's take a look at this, because I believe this is a necessary factor that we need to be considering. Go ahead, 1 Chronicles 12:32.
Of the sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command.
So how many have heard of King Saul? King Saul was the first king of Israel. And King Saul ended up not following God's ways. And so after several chances, God said, I'm going to raise up another. And he raised up a young shepherd boy named David. And David served Saul. You know, I mean, he killed Goliath at that battle, and he became a great warrior. And Saul became envious of him. We know or don't know that story. But what ends up happening is, after many years, there's a battle, and in the battle, Saul and his family pretty much die, and they're ready. They're ready to make David king. But some of the tribes of Israel, there's 12 tribes, are like a little hesitant and not sure, like, well, I mean, you know, Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, and I don't know about this David. You know, he was fighting Saul. So, but the tribe of Issachar, the sons of Issachar, they were like way down the line, because Issachar was one of Jacob's sons. We're talking hundreds of years before. And it says that they had an understanding of the times. They had an understanding of that moment. They had an understanding that this was not just a normal day. This was not just something to be trivial over. Well, we can't have him be king. So that this was something divine going on. And they knew what Israel needed to do. They knew that they needed to make David their king. And so Israel became the kingdom of David. Now, not all the tribes jumped on right away, but later on they did end up coming on. But Issachar knew the times. And so I believe that as believers, that's one thing that we need to have in us, is an understanding of the times that we're in. Not just the times, you know, the globally in the world. It's like, you know, 2019 and things are going on politically and environmentally and all those things. I got to know the... But what time are we living in? What is God doing in his timeline in us, or in our family, or in other brothers and sisters in Christ? We need to have an understanding. We need to gain understanding. And I think that can only come through the Holy Spirit. I don't think we can manufacture that. You have anything? Nothing. So all their brethren were at their command. And that means all the tribes of Issachar. They were saying, yep, okay, well... we'll do what you say. Now, here's another scripture that talks about a group of individuals who weren't getting the idea of the times, and there was consequences because they didn't understand the times. Go ahead.
Luke 12:54-56. Then Jesus turned to the crowd and said, When you see clouds beginning to form in the west, you say, here comes a shower, and you are right. When the south wind blows, you say, today will be a scorcher, and it is. You fools, you know how to interpret the weather signs of the earth and sky, but you don't know how to interpret the present times? Should be a question mark.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. It might have been a question mark. I might have messed it up. I don't think I messed it up.
No,
yeah. But it does sound like a question, doesn't it? I think it's also an emphatic statement. You don't know how to interpret the present times. But the point being is Jesus, Messiah, who they were waiting for, it was the time of Messiah at the 4,000 year mark. If you go back, you look in Jewish history, that's when they expected Messiah. So here is the time, and here is one that's doing mighty works, but the problem is it wasn't in the full package that they expected, because they expected a warrior like David who was going to come and beat up the Romans and make it so that they could have Israel back, so that they could be a nation again, and that he would rule them like King David did, and that they would have peace and prosperity like during the time of Solomon. And all this Jesus was doing was messing with their stuff, because he's telling them that even their laws that they were following weren't to the fullness of the law. You know, when he started saying it's not just about, you know, sleeping with a woman, it's also about looking at her, you've committed adultery. And it's not just about, you know, loving your neighbor. You know, and who is your neighbor? Well, it's the Samaritan. It's the enemy. You know, he was messing with their stuff. And so they didn't see it, and they could not interpret the times. They couldn't understand. Like Issachar, they couldn't understand the times. Now, some did by accident, I think, only by the grace of God. You know, some figured it out, you know. But most people were always puzzling along the way. You are Messiah, and then he'd do something like, you are Messiah, right? It's like, you know. And
there were
times that they just weren't sure. Because it just did not come. He didn't come in that package, speaking of Christmas, all wrapped a certain way that when they opened it, like, well, this is not what I was expecting. Where's the crown of being king of Israel? Especially when he was hanging on the cross. I mean, it was just time to mock him because, yeah, you're the king of Israel. Ha ha, you know, not realizing that his kingdom was not of this realm.
Right.
His kingdom was right here, folks. In our hearts. That's the kingdom he was after. I mean, yeah, he wants to see us live in peace. But most of all, he wants these hearts to be his. Because he loves them. And he doesn't want to see us hurt ourselves or abuse ourselves or get into things that are going to drag us down and not be who he created us to be. So understand the times that you're in and don't be like Jesus, folks, in that day and miss him. Okay. Esther.
4:14. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for just such a time as this?
For just such a time as this. I know the New Living puts in that word just.
Yeah.
And it's like, because I always say it for such a time as this. But the point being is that Esther had come from a Jewish background. And she was picked out of all these women after spending one night with the king. And then all these other women prior to her. And he made the choice for her to be the next queen. And she was queen. And Mordecai was saying, listen, we've got an enemy. His name was Haman. And he was out to kill all the Jews, especially Mordecai. He hated Mordecai more than anybody. And so what ended up happening is Mordecai sent a message to Queen Esther and said, you've got to use your royal power now to make it so that we can protect ourselves from this edict that has gone out from Haman that the king signed. And back in those days, when a king signed something, he couldn't even revoke it.
Mm-hmm.
So there was an order to kill all the Jews on a certain day, and nobody would be held criminally charged for that. And so Queen Esther was being asked by Mordecai, which was her uncle, to go and stand in the gap for Israel. And at first she's like, if he doesn't call for me, I'm going to die. You know, I could die, you know. And Mordecai's trying to remind her that, listen, it's no accident that you're in the castle. It's no accident you were chosen.
Mm-hmm.
You have been chosen. You've been made queen. You've been given the power of this kingdom for such a time as this. And I'm telling you, I think we're in a for such a time as this moment as believers in the world. You know, that's a very significant time to be alive. That you know, I've said this before, and I truly believe it, that some of the prophetic times that the prophets were living in, they saw into these times and longed to live in these same times that we're living in. And we take them for granted because, well, they're the times we live in, but not realizing what's going on in the plan of God, in his divining moment that he's working out for us as believers. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Galatians 4:4.
New King James Version. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. New Living Translation. But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law.
So here we have another description of time reaching a fullness, reaching its capacity. And that's when Messiah came. That's when Jesus came. That everything that needed to be in place, say if it's like a play or it's like some construction, was in place so that Messiah could step into the earth and fulfill all of the things that needed to be fulfilled. I don't know if the Romans wouldn't have been controlling Jerusalem if he would have been crucified. And we know that he needed to have his hands and his feet pierced. That was part of what Messiah had to go through. We know that he had to be a suffering servant, not a, you know, the King of Kings. Even though he is the King of Kings supernaturally, he didn't appear as the King of Kings when he came. So there was a fullness of time that came. And what I want us to realize is that there is a fullness of time that all of us can come into. And I believe that's when we move into something that God has preordained for us. Now, it may be coming into your life in 2019. It may already be there, and you're just going to continue to walk in that previous fullness of time. But there is a fullness of time for all of us. Some of us, you know, it's going to be ultimately when we see him face to face, you know, because this life is a vapor. You know, it seems like a dream to people in the Old Testament when they talk about this life. You know, it doesn't last very long, even though sometimes it seems to carry on a long time. And from the scheme of eternity, it's a little mark. You know, I'm thinking of Francis Chan when he did that big, long thread or rope. And he was saying, this is time. And he put a little red line. He says, and this is your lifetime in that big line of real time. And I don't think he could have actually even shown it enough because, you know.
It went out the door.
It went out the door.
They didn't see the end.
Oh, they didn't see the end. Well, he was smart. Yeah. Okay. The point being is that this life is very short. It's a vapor. And so there is a fullness of time, you know, a glorious time when we will see him face to face. We'll be like him because we'll see him as he is and we'll know him as he is. And there will be a fulfillment that comes to us, a fullness of that time. Well, but I believe there's a fullness of time for us here as well. Go ahead, honey.
Well, I was just going to say, like what I was saying earlier about the evidence.
Yeah,
it's sitting on the table. And unless it's brought forth, well, where's the table of your heart? I mean, God has placed evidence there for you. And sometimes it takes us picking it up and activating it, using it. So it's already, I believe it's already been entrusted into us, deep within us. I believe that we're the ones to call it forth, call life forth as God has placed it in us. And some of us are very fearful about that. But let me just tell you, God has a purpose and a plan. And that purpose and that plan is a yes and amen.
Mm-hmm.
And it may have been a really hard road. Life, as you know it, didn't turn out the way you thought it would. But God, there's a reason why everyone sitting here hears that. God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us. And I just sense it so much that there's just so much deep within us that we don't even know
mm-hmm.
what's all there. And all it has to be done is just activate it. Just saying, Lord, just whatever it is that you have for me, I bring it forth. I call it forth. You know, by faith in Jesus, I call it forth and say, be evident in my life because I want your purpose to be my plan. I want your purpose in my life to be evident in who I am and not be something that's just sitting there complacent or atrophied. When he was talking about my son was healed from cerebral palsy, his son had cerebral palsy. The difference was atrophied muscles. Aaron's mind was just as bright as Stephen's. Aaron had as much knowledge, as much emotion, as much heart, as much love, as much calling in him as Stephen did. The difference was atrophied muscle. What have we allowed to atrophy in our life? What have we allowed to become dormant, sitting there? Not being used for God's plan, by God for his purpose. What atrophied call on our lives have we allowed just to sit there? God has a purpose and a plan for each one. where Phyllis lives, I can't touch those neighbors. Phyllis's life, mm-hmm. her heart can. Where Zeke is, I can't touch his neighbors. I might be able to because I go over there a lot for a lot of birthday parties. But I'm just saying, not like Zeke can.
Right.
Do you see my point is that we have atrophied sometimes the call of God in our lives. And it's time to ring the bell. Wake it up. Start using those muscles that have just set there dormant. That heart muscle, that compassion, that one that when you would drive by a homeless person and you would look to see, now come on now, we're going to get real here. You would look to see how new their shoes were. Are they really homeless? How many have done it? Ooh, I've done it.
Yeah. Guilty as charged.
How atrophied has my heart been that I've driven by that person and not looked at their shoes, but looked at their face and their eyes. Doesn't matter what's on their feet. It matters what's in their heart and what's hurting behind those eyes. Who cares about the shoes they're wearing on their feet?
Or the car they're driving.
Or the car they're driving, or their station in life, or who their friends are, or who their friends aren't. It's time to wake up.
Make me want to jump to another scripture, but...
Go ahead.
Jump to it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got to come back to Hosea, so...
Go beyond it.
Or just go beyond it.
Go ahead.
I'm trying to. It's like sticking. Here it is. Romans 13. I just think it's funny. That, yeah. Romans 13, 11 through 14, New Living Translation. This is all the more urgent for you know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness or in sexual promiscuity or immoral living or in quarreling or in jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Talk about a challenge. Again, that's Paul communicating to the Romans of the time, the urgent time that they were in. Remember, Paul thought they were in the last days. You know, I think if Paul was to, you know, come around us now, he'd probably say, I thought we were in the last days. You know, I had no idea that it was going to be, 2,000 years almost from the time I was communicating. So back in Hosea, which kind of goes along with that last one. Come on. What is going on here? It might be time for new battery. No, the batteries are perfect. There we go. One more. Here we go. Hosea. So in Hosea 10:12, go ahead.
I can't get there. You go.
Can't get there. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts, for now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. Now is the time. So we can say that, yeah, there's a time for every purpose under heaven. And we can, say someday in the future, that time will come. Or we can agree with the promise that now is the time as well. And Lord, you may have something really big for me in the future, but I'm going to make today a now is the time to seek you. I'm going to make today a now to go deeper into who you want me to be. To live a life that's separated from ways that would drive me into usually depression and anxiety, frustration, but that would lead me into your promises that are yes and amen, as you said. Colossians 3:7-8. I'm hurrying because we got quite a few to do. You used to do these things when your life was still part of this world, but now is the time
to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Again, Paul's saying now is the time, especially when it comes to seeking God and serving God and saying goodbye to those ways, those enticements that drag us down. Now is that time. There's not just a time in the future for that to happen. We can make that today. Okay, so we did Romans.
Ephesians.
Okay. And this will be our final scripture.
Ephesians 5, 14 through 16. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil.
So now this is talking about us. And this is the same kind of word for time. You know, it's kairos. It's a special appointed time. And it's encouraging us to redeem this time, to buy back this time. So when you think of, 2019, which isn't here yet. You know, we still have 2 days before it's actually, or a day and a half or whatever it is now. Midnight, so well, we're almost like at 24 hours. Right? Is that right? Or no, 24 hours and midnight will be 24 hours, yeah. Day and a half. I was right the first time. Should have just stuck with that. Anyway, overthought it. But the point being is that when we come into 2019, we can let 2019 govern us. And what I mean by that, we can let the circumstances of life, situations that we go through, the influences of others and the influences of TV or Facebook, whatever you want to say, we can let it govern us. And we can be subject to it. We can let it conform us to a certain type of behavior and thought process and way of living. Or we can redeem 2019. We can say, it's the year the Lord has made. This is a new year for me to live for God. And even though I may not know everything that's coming up, as it comes up, I'm going to try to walk in the mind of Christ. I'm going to try to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to choose not to let my first reaction be my first reaction. But to be tempered with patience and with the virtues that come from the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, patience, long-suffering, all of those things, you know, self-control, those things that will keep us from being the same as the world. See, I believe, like you said, the world is looking for truth. They're looking for reality. They're looking for someone to not just talk a talk and not just talk and walk, but somebody that walks a life that is so different, so circumspect, so purposeful that it challenges their status quo without saying a word necessarily, just from our existence as being his sons and daughters. So I believe this coming year can be a divine year, and that there can have many divining moments, not just one, not just two, but every single day, redeeming every day for him. And I mean, that's a big charge. You know, it's like, holy cow, that's a lot for me to try to carry, Pastor Mike. I mean, you know, 2018 was tough enough, and now you're putting it up a notch. Well, keep in mind that you're not going to accomplish this. You don't have it in you to accomplish this. It's going to take Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's going to have to be the power of the Holy Spirit resident in you, teaching you, leading you, guiding you, encouraging you to go the right way. And I know you have something you want to share, right? You do. Okay. And we'll see if anyone else says anything after that. So if you do, think about what you want to say.
This is called the Titanic's Last Hero. The most famous ship of all time is possibly the Titanic. The supposedly unsinkable ship that went down on its maiden voyage. Many movies have been made and many books written about the fateful journey. Few will include the story of the Scottish evangelist John Harper. Harper was a passenger on the Titanic. In 1912, Harper was traveling to Chicago to take up his appointment as pastor of Moody Church. He had his daughter, Nana, on board with him. His wife had died a few years earlier. When the Titanic struck the iceberg and began to sink, he put Nana into a lifeboat and then ran through the ship, yelling women, children, and unsaved to the lifeboats. When the ship finally went down, he had already given his life jacket to another passenger. Survivors report that to the very end, Harper was witnessing to anyone who would listen. One survivor recalls clinging to one of the ship's spars when Harper floated near him. "Man, are you saved?" cried Harper. "No, I'm not," replied the man. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved," pleaded Harper. The waves carried Harper away and brought him back a little later. "Are you saved now?" asked Harper. "No, I can't honestly say that I am," says the man. Again, Harper pleads with him, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Shortly afterward, Harper went down. The man who survived was the one of only six people rescued in a public meeting 4 years later, recounting the episode. He said, "There, alone in the night, and with 2 miles of water underneath me, I believed. I am John Harper's last convert."
Mm.
What a defining moment. Jesse, can we have some soft music? I hope you don't mind, but I really feel like God is telling me to do this. So I'm going to ask two people if they would stand and just move forward into the altar area. And I know for sure that there are two more people, but God wants obedience out of them first to step forward. But the first person is Cheyenne that I'm calling up and Hope. So if the two of you will just step up into the altar area. And then there are at least two more people. Can you start praying for Hope and I'll pray for
mm-hmm.
first?
Thank you, Lord. I'm supposed to pray for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
two more people. Are you going to come and get it? It's for you. Anybody? Any takers?
Does anyone have anything else that the Lord is putting? Junior, come on up.
So, with the first scripture that you had read, I read further into it. I normally would just read up there. Sometimes I'll pull out my little Bible app and whatnot. But since we're talking about jumping from 2018 to 2019, and pretty much there's an actual time.
Right.
A literal time for everything.
Right.
I read through the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 3, I mean, we started and we ended with, to everything, there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. But if you read further, I mean, it specifies more and more. There's a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to gain and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. I read a tiny bit further down, and it says, He has made everything beautiful in its time.
Yeah.
Also, He has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work of God, the work that God does from the beginning to end. And reading further into that, it made me understand this entire sermon. Like, just reading through that, it made me understand it. And I think... reading into there, it's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. I think that's what my 2019 is.
What's that?
It's a time to speak. It's time to be heard.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Father, we just thank you for this time together. And Lord, we know that time is in your hands. That you have ordered the days that we live in. You have purposed the days. You have set boundaries for even the times that we live in, Lord, that we're not here by accident. It's not a coincidence that we're moving into 2019 as a body of believers in Yakima, but Lord, that it's ordained and purposed under heaven for that to happen. So, Lord, I pray that not as just an individual, Lord, but as a group, a gathering, Lord, a place where we gather together to worship you, Lord, that we would embark on this year with the purpose, Lord, of fulfilling your desire as a fellowship that you have for us. That we would bring light, Lord, to the areas of darkness, Lord, that you've called us to. That we would bring love, Lord, to those who have not known your love. And that we would bring, Lord, a place, Lord, we would bring with us, Lord, a place of worship and a place of your presence, Lord, so that those who have been denied, Lord, access for whatever reason to your presence, Lord, would be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. And be able to experience, Lord, peace that passes all understanding. That could then guard their hearts and minds. And then as that one who was hanging on to a pillar after the Titanic was totally destroyed and had two opportunities from that pastor, Lord, that they would believe. Just the simple act of, I choose to believe, and just watch the hand of the Lord work in their life. Not only in 2019, but in the coming years. Thank you, Lord, that you have put eternity in our hearts. That we know, Lord, that there is an expiration date to our time here. And Lord, that we would live this life as ones redeeming, buying back this time for your kingdom and for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, we'll go out and have some divine moments.